Today we're talking about the season of temptation. Now, temptation is man and women's oldest problem. It's been around since Adam and Eve, and I'd like to read you a letter to start off with this morning. And I want to see if you can sense the writer's struggle with temptation. All right, let me read it to you. I am so full of myself. What I don't understand about myself is I decide one way but end up acting another way, doing the things I absolutely despise. I can't seem to be trusted to figure out what's best for me and then do it. I need something more. A power within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help, and I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really can't do it. And when I decide not to do bad, I do it anyway. My decisions don't result in better actions. Something gets the better of me every time. And it happens so regularly that it's predictable. And I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope, and there is no one who can do anything for me. Isn't that the real question? Do you sense the frustration in this person's letter? You can hear it. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Nothing's working. This amazing thing is that this letter was not written by a drug addict on the street. It wasn't written by a prostitute or a pimp or somebody that was addicted to sex. No, not even an alcoholic. You've all gotten uncomfortable just now. It was written by Paul the Apostle. 2,000 years ago in Romans chapter 7. The fact is that we all struggle with temptation. Every one of us does. You'll never be so great a Christian that you will stop struggling with it. Today I want to give you 6 keys from God's word on how to handle temptation. Are you ready to hear this morning? Is this something that you might need to use? Thanks, Alicia. The rest of you, just listen. Number one. Anticipate it. Anticipate temptation. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be shocked by it. Instead, be prepared. When temptation comes, we usually have 3 common reactions. The first one is shock. How in the world could I think such a thought like that? The second one is frustration. Why do I keep falling into the same area over and over again? And then the third one is discouragement. I'll never change. Sounds just like Paul. It's not a sin to be tempted. Write that on your notes. It's not a sin to be tempted. Have you ever been praying and you're really sincere and trying to talk to God, and then all of a sudden the most off-the-wall idea or image comes in your mind while you're praying? Where do you think it came from? You'll be tempted not because you're evil. Listen to this. But because you're a human being. It's what you do with temptation that makes it either right or wrong, good or bad. The moment you're saved, the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, Satan, like a mafia hitman, puts a contract out on you. He's plotting and scheming 24 hours a day for your downfall. And the amazing thing is that if he can't get you to sin, then he will just intimidate you with a thought that you might have. So what's the antidote? Look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, 41. Jesus said this, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Be prepared. Be watching for it. Be ready for it. Don't be surprised. Just know where it's coming from. It's just the devil again. I was talking with someone before the service. When we get opposition and we sense when we're serving God and there's opposition that comes into our life, we can either A, get intimidated by it, or we can think about it as, "Ooh, I must be up to something right." I've often said this, the bigger the buffet, the bigger the push, that means the bigger the blessing that's coming. When God gives you an idea in your mind, we call that inspiration. And when the devil gives you an idea in your mind, we call that temptation. You are to You're free to choose which thoughts that you dwell on. So some of you are thinking, well, is temptation a season of life? Don't we just have this all the time? Yes, we do have it all the time. But there are some seasons in life when you and I are more vulnerable to temptation than other times. It's different for every one of us. Some of you are tempted most when you're bored. Some of you are most tempted when you're lonely. Some of you are most tempted when you're tired and you're fatigued. And others, for you, it's when you're under stress. And some of you are tempted when you're with friends on the weekends. And some of you are most tempted after a big success. If you are thinking, I'll never behave like that, let that be a warning to you that you may fall into a sin. You think you might have it all together and that you're spiritually high, then Satan comes in and then he tempts you. And how do I know that? And why do I say to be aware of that? Jesus' three temptations by the devil came right on the heels of his baptism. And we've spoken about the baptism many times of Jesus. This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. And then the minute that he leaves there, he's taken out into the desert and he is tempted. After a spiritual victory, then came temptation. I mean, we could do the Old Testament. When Elijah had that great big face-off with the Baal prophets, what does he do shortly after that? He runs for the hills. He's depressed. It's just like that with us. Right after we have a spiritual high, many times we're tempted. That's why we pray for people who are baptized, after they were baptized. You need to be aware of those times that after a success, be prepared for the temptation that will follow. Number two, big one here, accept responsibility for it. A little boy was lost during Christmas shopping rush. He was standing in an aisle of a busy department store crying, "I want my mommy." People kept passing by and giving the unhappy youngster loonies and toonies, and finally the storekeeper came over to him and said, "I know where your mother is." The little boy looked at him with his eyes filled with tears and he said, "So do I, just keep quiet." Accept responsibility for the temptations that will occur in your life. Don't blame God. Don't blame other people. Don't blame the devil. Even the devil cannot tempt you without your cooperation. Look at what it says. Temptation is the pull of your evil thoughts, circle evil, and then circle your own. It's your own thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions. If you had no internal desire, it couldn't tempt you. And I know this. Let me illustrate this for you. There are some things that you're not, you hear other people go, "Man, why are they tempted like that? I'm not tempted that way." See, if we have an internal desire, if we don't deal with it appropriately, then we will get tempted. For some people, they're not tempted to get angry. For some people, that's what they're tempted by. It just depends on what's going on inside. Most of your problems, you really bring on yourself. You just need to accept responsibility and quit blaming others. You can put blame down, right? Spell the word blame on your notes. Be lame. Every time you blame someone else, you're being lame. You're not admitting what the real problem is. It's amazing to me that some people even try to blame God for the messes in their life and for their own temptations. I've had people say to me, "God told me to leave my wife and marry this beautiful young lady." God's will never contradict God's word. If God says no, don't do that in the Bible, he will never say to you yes through a feeling. One of the most common excuses I've heard a lot of times is to justify a multitude of sins is, "God wants me to be happy. He just wants me to be happy." God wants you to be happy, yes, but God wants you to be holy more than he wants you to be happy. He wants you to do what he says. He wants you to obey him. The rules and principles that are in this book are not here just to make you miserable. They're here for your own good. Don't blame God saying he wants you to be happy. Number three, ask God for help. I love this quote from Mark Twain. I can resist everything except temptation. God has a 24-hour hotline system. He's willing and waiting to help you and I with temptation. He just wants you and I to admit it. So why don't we ask God for help when we're tempted? There's a couple of reasons. First of all, sometimes we don't ask God for help because we honestly want to do it. We want to give in. We know it's wrong. The second reason is we don't ask because we're too embarrassed, because we keep falling in the same area over and over again. He's already helped you, and you're falling again in the same area. Don't ever be embarrassed to ask God for help, because God does not have a limit to his patience. Why does God want you to come to him? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth, and Jesus went through everything you went through and are going through, which means he understands. Look at it in your notes, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15 and 16, Jesus had the same temptations you go through. He never once gave in sin, but let us come boldly to God. Circle that. Come boldly to God and find grace to help us in our times of need. Some of you can't even imagine that Jesus has gone through the temptations that you're going through. Was Jesus tempted to lie? Yes. Was Jesus tempted to go on an ego trip? Yes. Does that mean that Jesus was tempted sometimes to get angry? Yes. Was Jesus tempted sexually? Yes. Why? Because he was not only God, he was fully human, and the Bible says he was tempted in every point as we are, only he didn't give in. That's the good news. Many of us don't call on God for help because we want to use what we call willpower. We think, if I just tough it out, then willpower will make the day. Willpower doesn't work. Best way to illustrate this is like having a boat with an automatic pilot that moves the boat north. And with an autopilot, there are two things that we can do. Either one, we change the autopilot, or by sheer willpower, grab the steering wheel of the boat and force it and turn it around to go south. But here's what happens. The minute that we are distracted, the minute that we get loose, we lose our strength, we will let go of the wheel and automatically it will go right back north. We need to call on God for help. We need extra power. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, come to me when trouble comes. We need to go, mayday, mayday, code blue, red alert, SOS, help. It's not theological, but it's work. He says, call to me in your time of trouble, and I'll help you. So ask God for help. Number three, you okay? Or number four, sorry, I just want to make sure you're following along. Admit my struggle to a friend. You don't have to admit it to everybody. You don't have to come up here on a Sunday morning and tell everybody or go on 60 Minutes with your secret sin. It just means you need to admit it with somebody close, and it needs to be a Christian who can pray with you and pray for you. I heard a story about a pastor in the last century who was talking to an Indian chief who had become a Christian. The Indian chief was talking about temptation in his mind, and he said, it's like you have two dogs. You probably heard this, a good dog and a bad dog fighting each other. And the pastor said to the chief, well, which dog wins? And the Indian said, the one I feed. The fact is, we all struggle with the exact same temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life, they aren't anything new or different. This means that the thing that you're embarrassed about and the secret sins that you don't want anybody else to know aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problem before you. We are all in the same boat. God wants us to help each other, and he has made a prerequisite to healing that we share our faults with someone else. It's a prerequisite to healing. Look what it says in James chapter 5, verse 26. Admit your sins to each other so that you may be healed. It doesn't say admit it to a priest or a pastor or a counselor. It says to each other so that you may be healed. Don't repress it. Confess it. Don't conceal it. Reveal it. Get it off of your chest. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of your healing. Hiding a hurt only intensifies it. People says time heals all wounds. That's baloney. If time healed all wounds, then I would get well just sitting to wait in the waiting room to see my doctor. Some of you will get that later. Does that make you well? No. Time will not heal that hurt, that resentment in your life. You need to deal with some spiritual surgery on it. The way to do this is by sharing it with a friend who can pray with you, encourage you, and console you, and counsel and help you. Friends, I've seen this in real life in this last month with one of my family members who's been holding something, an experience that happened to her for 7 years. And she finally revealed it, and I have seen a brand new person. There are three dramatic benefits for sharing your temptations with a person or a small group or people in your triad. One, it helps you gain control. Talking about any problems always helps you gain control over it. Number two, it reveals your inner stress when you reveal your hurt. It's liberating. When you get into a small group and you begin to share your real life, and then they share themselves and the issues that you think, I don't know if anybody else feels like this. I didn't know any other parent felt like taking their kids out sometimes. I didn't know that you wanted to pull your hair out. I thought I was the only one who felt that way. The problems of unbelievers and believers are identical. Hear me there. The only difference is believers have a source of great power to help themselves to work on it that unbelievers don't have. Amen? There is no sin that Christians don't struggle with. That's why we need to just be honest about it and say, yes, we're struggling. Let's get help. And then the third thing is it provides support and accountability. You have to have both of those in order to be healed of a habit or hang up or hurt. You need support and you need accountability. All right, ready for number five? All right. Avoid tempting situations. This should have been number one. Alex was trying to save all the change that he got in order to buy a new baseball glove, but he had one struggle. One night when he was praying his prayers, his mother heard him praying fervently, "Oh Lord, please help me to save money for my baseball glove. And Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down this street." It's common sense that if you hang around a barber shop long enough, you're eventually going to get your hair cut. If you don't want to get stung, then stay away from bees. The goal is not how close to the temptation can I get and not get burned. The goal is how far away can I keep from it? Proverbs 14:16 says this, "A wise man turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." A fool thinks he can handle it. Who are you kidding? You don't go to a bar just to eat pretzels. You need to do a little frank assessment. You need to analyze when and where you are most tempted and most vulnerable. Then it's really simple. Stay away from those situations as much as you can, or minimize them. When are you tempted most? Is it when you're in the airports or on a business trip or at home alone after the kids have gone off to school, in a parked car, during the weekends, when you're watching television? Which one is it? Psalm 119:59 says, "I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed and turned around and came running back to you." The Bible says run from temptation. Flee it. And if you have to physically remove yourself from it, that's what it says you should be doing. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, a married woman trying to seduce him, and he was wearing his favorite coat, she grabbed him by the coat, and he left the coat and split. Sometimes you've just got to leave your coat. Get out of the situation. Run from it. Don't stay around. When you're tempted, get up and change the channel. Take a shower, turn on music, whatever you need to do. Here's some practical advice. Don't ever try to argue with the devil. You'll lose every time. Now, why is that? Because he's had thousands of years thinking up lines to counter anything you're ever going to come up with. Don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. The more you fight a feeling, the more it grows in intensity. All the time you're saying, I don't, you're focusing on the thing that you don't want. The key is just to switch your mind to refocus. Then lastly, number six, to reaffirm God's word. Claim the promises of God that he has given you in his word about temptation. Everyone ought to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I've had many people tell me, I just couldn't help myself. If you had been in this situation, you would have understood. It's absolutely impossible to resist. I had no choice but to give in, they say. Whenever I hear that, I think, then what you're really saying is you're calling God a liar. God says he will always make a way out. It may be tough. It may be difficult and painful. It may be embarrassing. But there will always be a way out. You cannot legitimately say, I had no choice but to give in. You did have a choice. God made sure of that. That's his promise. Satan is constantly battling for your mind, and that's where the battle happens. When God gives us an idea, remember it's inspiration, and when the devil gives us an idea, it's temptation. You're choosing every day which thought you're going to dwell on, the good thoughts or the bad thoughts, God's thoughts or the devil's thoughts. We need to change our minds by replacing the temptation with truth. And where's the truth? Right in here, the Bible. The Bible says we need to resist the devil. How do you do that? By preparing for that temptation. Ephesians 6:18, accept salvation from God to be your helmet and receive the word of God to use it as a sword. You've got to get ready for battle. You've got to have the proper armor on. You've got to have the proper weapons. Some of you go into the battle against temptation and you don't have the proper armor or the weapons and you're spiritual streakers. You go running on the battlefield buck naked and Satan knows you're defenseless. You don't have anything. And there are two things you need in order to handle temptation. One, salvation is the first step. If you're here today or if you're watching online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it says accept salvation from God to be your helmet. And what does the helmet do? It protects your mind, it protects your head, and that's where the battle is going on. Because you can say no to the devil, you have to learn to say yes to Jesus Christ. You've got to have his power. It's called salvation. And if you've never opened your mind up to Jesus Christ or your heart and said, come in, be my savior, then you're absolutely defenseless against the devil himself. You have no weapons at all. No protection for your evil thoughts or your ugly thoughts or your harmful thoughts. You don't have a chance of resisting him because you don't have the power. You first need to say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and give me your power. The second thing is you need to receive his word to use as a sword. Truth is the antidote to temptation. This is your sword. A truth is worthless unless you get it into your mind. This is the most important thing I'm going to say to you today. Without a doubt, the single most effective tool to combating temptation is to memorize Scripture. If you don't have any verses memorized, you don't have any bullets in your gun. He's not afraid of your opinion, but he does respect the truth. And when Jesus was tempted, if you go back and study everything about his temptation in Matthew chapter 3, he quoted a scripture back every time he was tempted. Why? Because he shows us how to resist the devil. If you've been headed in the wrong direction, I want to challenge you to follow Psalm 119. I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed, and I turned around and I came running back to you. Run back to him today. He's not going to shame you. When you tell God your problem, he already knows all about it. If you feel ashamed, embarrassed, guilty about it, it's okay. He welcomes you with open and loving arms. Come to him for salvation and for his word. I want to finish reading the letter that I started this message with from Paul. And this is the rest of it. I tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. There is no one who can do anything for me. The answer, thank you, God, is that Jesus Christ can and does help. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions when I wanted to serve God with all my heart, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Here's the good news. We no longer have to live under the continuous, low-lying black cloud of condemnation. There is no condemnation. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you of a lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and temptation. God once went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with your problem as someone remote or unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition. He entered the disorderly mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. What's he saying? The answer is not a program. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And that's why our programs here at Parkview Alliance Church are all built around Jesus, because that's where it starts. Amen? Will you pray with me this morning? Would you pray this in your heart and mind? Dear Jesus Christ, I want to accept responsibility for the temptations that I've been giving into in my life. I want to stop making excuses, stop blaming, stop downplaying their significance, and admit the failures in my life. I ask you for help. I thank you, Jesus Christ, that you understand what I'm going through because you faced these temptations. Today I'm calling on you for help. Would you give me the courage to admit my struggle to a friend or a group of friends in a small group or in my triad? I know that I need to pray, and I know that I need to be honest with other people so that I may be healed. Give me the courage to make the first step. And help me to avoid tempting situations, to run from them. And most of all, help me to fill my mind with your word. I want to learn to memorize verses that will help me when temptations come. And if you've never done so, you could say, Jesus Christ, I want to accept your salvation today. I want to put on the helmet that will protect my mind. And I ask you to come into my life to save me and forgive me and help me start a brand new life. In your name I pray. Amen.